Solomon said, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Hey, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like your life is going nowhere, that you don't really have much meaning, much purpose? You're just kind of drawing your breath and drawing your salary, stuck in a rut. Hey, how do you get out of that? How do you get excited about life, excited to wake up every morning and say, "This is the day which the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it"? You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. Well, I was thinking this morning about the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 says that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And then it goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 6:1, "And working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain." We can work with God as believers. The Lord invites us to work with Him. He says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So we beseech the Lord of the harvest. We pray and we call out to Him to send laborers into His harvest. And God is inviting you and me as His children to work with Him in the greatest endeavor of all, and that is in the lives of people, to make a difference in people's lives, not just for a short time, not just for a lifetime, but for all eternity, as we share with them the grace of God. The grace of God, as Paul said, has appeared to all men, and the grace of God is God's riches at Christ's expense. And it instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and live sensibly, godly, righteously in this present evil age. And we're looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, the harvest is plentiful. And the Lord says the harvest, the fields are white for harvest. And so He's looking and saying, "Where are the people that will join me? Where are the people that will work together with me?" Now, the Lord is our shepherd. He is our good shepherd. He's the good shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep. He's the great shepherd who leads the sheep. And He's the chief shepherd who will appear one day. And our shepherd says, "Join me in ministering to people. Join me in declaring the good news of the grace of God to all men, to let them know that, hey, even though you are sinners and separated from God, God made a difference, and the Lord came down, and the Lord died on the cross, and the Lord rose again from the dead, and the Lord conquered death, hell, and the grave, sin, death, hell, and the grave, and He offers to anyone who will repent and believe eternal life." And eternal life doesn't begin when you die. Eternal life begins the moment you believe. And Jesus said, "I came," John 10:10, "the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly," that it would be full and overflowing. And that's what we have to share with people. You know, we work together with Him. And it says, "I urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain." So what does that mean? Well, we're saved by the grace of God. We continue by the grace of God. And to receive the grace of God in vain would be what the Galatian Christians did. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Chapter 3. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. "This is the one thing I want to know about you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Obviously, it's by hearing with faith. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh and by the flesh? So to receive the grace of God in vain means you try to live the Christian life in your own strength and your own power. You try and work it out in the flesh. Listen, the Christian life is all of grace. We receive Christ by grace through faith, and we walk with Christ by grace through faith, and we understand that we have been given by God's grace the ministry of reconciliation, and He invites us to work together with Him. Now that is an awesome thought, to let your mind just expand out. I get to work with God. How cool is that? Now He's the boss, He's the master. And we are not servants to the master, we are slaves to the master. And there's a big distinction. I've been listening to John MacArthur talk about that. You know, he wrote a book called Slave, and he was really taking issue with the fact that so many of the Bible translators, they take the Greek word doulos, which means slave, and they soften it to mean servant. What's the difference? A slave is owned, a servant is hired. We're not hired by the Lord, we're enslaved to the Lord. We died to our old way of life, we've given Him our lives, we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to Him. We've been, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6, we've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies. And the Lord says, now this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out into the field, it's white for harvest, and tell people about me. Tell them about my grace. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21, the great verse, He made Him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Yesterday on the program, I had my dear friend, Dr. Chuck Kelly, President Emeritus of New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dr. Kelly is very, very consumed with the subject of evangelism, and he does a lot of study on statistics related to those who are coming to Christ, and very alarming to see those numbers decrease over the years, especially in Southern Baptist life. And the question is, well, why? Why are we seeing less people come to the Lord? Well, his answer was, in not so many words, to put it into the language of today's program, is that we're not working with him. We're not being his ambassadors. We're not taking seriously the call to shine for Christ, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, to shine and share and tell people what great things the Lord has done for us and how He had mercy on us, and tell people about the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for sinners, as Paul said, of whom I am chief. I am foremost of all. He died for me. And Paul said, hey, if you wonder if the Lord can save sinners and change lives, just look at my life. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. And now I preach Jesus, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Hey, do you want your life to take on excitement and meaning every day when you wake up? Say, hey, I have something special to do. I am working together with the Lord. And he is empowering me. It's not by my strength. It's by his strength working through me, the God who mightily works within me. And he wants to use me today. As you've heard me say many, many times, and Jim Cimbala, when he was on the program some weeks ago, he reiterated this. Hey, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may not come. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. What is your life but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away? We don't have the promise of tomorrow. All we have is today. And we can make a difference today in the lives of people. Even if we don't see any people, we can make a difference through our prayers. We can pray for folks. And we can communicate with folks maybe through a text, maybe through an email, maybe through a handwritten note. You know, sometimes it's the little things that make such a big difference. Last night at First Baptist Texarkana, my wife, who is the women's director, she had a big craft night. And we do that. She does cooking nights and craft nights probably each of those four or five times a year, and it gets the ladies together. And so they were making a Christmas craft. And so I went in there and was just kind of mingling with some of the ladies as they were doing their craft. And this dear lady came up to me and she said, "Hey, I want you to know that we took the kids out for their Christmas party last Friday. We took the little kids out and we went to not a nursing home, but like that, you know, retirement place, and to minister to the people there." And she said, "This guy came up to me, obviously an older man, and started talking to me about things and talking to me about First Baptist Texarkana, and then was asking about me and the pastor." So this guy told her, he said, "You know, I wrote your pastor a letter saying that I watch on television and that I'm very encouraged by the messages." And she said, and he said to her, "You know what? He wrote me back a handwritten letter." And she said, his eyes started filling up with tears because he said that meant so much to me, that he would take the time to actually write me a note. Hey, that's a little thing, and I'm not saying that to toot my own horn, but that the tears welled up in my eyes when she told that story, because I thought, well, praise the Lord. You know, something that just took me a few minutes made such a difference in that guy's life. Now, I would never know that had he not shared that story. And there are lots of situations like that out there. You know, we can say something to someone that really brightens their day. Here's an idea. What if you get really good service at a restaurant and you leave a good tip? But not only do you leave a good tip, you ask to talk to the manager. And when the manager comes, you know, normally they come because you're upset about something, but the manager comes to your table and you say, "I just want to brag on this server of yours. This person did such a great job, and I just want you to know that." The manager loves it. The server loves it. It can make such a big difference. And then when you do stuff like that and leave a big tip, you can leave a track. You can leave something that invites them to church, something that shares the gospel, something that lets them know that the difference in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, working together with Him, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, "At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." We have the ministry of reconciliation, and we can go out and shine and share and know that God will use us because He's given us that ministry. And He empowers us to witness for Him. And listen, you've heard me say this before. God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what He can do. And the Lord is waiting for us to go out into the field that's white already unto harvest and share the good news. And as we share the good news, the Lord works in hearts, and the Holy Spirit draws, and He uses our witness, and He uses our lives to make a difference in the lives of others. And there's nothing more rewarding and fulfilling to know that God used my life to make an eternal difference in the life of someone else. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to a lady who is a recipient of a shoebox, and that makes a difference in so many lives. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to think about who God has used in your life while on your faith journey. Perhaps it was a friend, pastor, or family member. Aren't you glad they took the time to invest in you? Through Operation Christmas Child, a simple shoebox gift opens the door for discipleship, connecting a child with believers in a local church. The Greatest Journey, a dynamic 12-lesson discipleship course, teaches these children how to have a deeper relationship with Jesus. Then, upon graduation, each child receives a certificate and a New Testament in their own language. Operation Christmas Child is able to train teachers and provide all of the materials for only $6 per child. That means for a monthly recurring gift of $6, you could help disciple 12 precious children each year. Will you join Operation Christmas Child in bringing life-changing discipleship to children around the world?
To learn more, go to afr.net. That's afr.net. And thank you.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 that says, "And working together with him, with God, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. God has given us as his children, as his blood-bought children, as his blood-bought born-again children, he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we share far and wide with people the good news that Jesus died for sinners. And Jesus saves sinners, and if you will repent, turn from sin, and put your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, he will save you." Now, one of the great ways that we can work with the Lord and partner with the Lord, especially at Christmas time, is through Operation Christmas Child, the shoeboxes that we fill with toys and hygiene items and the gospel of Jesus Christ that go, those shoeboxes go all around the world. And we have a special guest with us today, Veronica Miranda, and she was a recipient of one of those shoeboxes when she was in an orphanage in Mexico, and God used that witness to make such a difference in her life. So Veronica, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here with y'all today.
Okay, so tell us your story. How did you end up in an orphanage in Mexico?
Yeah, so I was born in Texas to an American father and a Mexican mother. But at the age of 8 years old, my parents were taken to prison because because of their involvement in illegal activities, which then caused me to be separated from them. And that was the last time I've ever seen my dad. But when my mom got out of prison, she took my siblings and I to go live with her in the northern part of Mexico. So from a young age, I grew up in Mexico. And my mom still participated in a lot of illegal activities. And we moved around a lot. And there was one point where we just kept moving around all throughout Mexico so much that we didn't really have a home. And when we got to kind of the south of Mexico, we lost my little brother, Alex. He passed away due to a brain injury. And a few months later, my mom was arrested. So all these things are happening within like the past 4 or 5 years. And I just began to be a very angry kid. I was holding on to so much hate because I had lost my dad, I had lost my brother, and now I lost my mom because she was arrested. It was a really difficult time. I was the oldest of my siblings, so I had to become the adult and become responsible at such a young age to help take care of my siblings. And I was just so angry. I didn't know if there was a God, first of all, but I knew that if there was a God, he hated me and he hated my family because I had just gone through so much trauma and so much pain and suffering at such a young age. And it wasn't until a few months after my mom got arrested that my siblings and I were sent to a Christian orphanage in Guadalajara, Mexico. And I just got there to that orphanage, again, with that same just anger, hate against God, against anything and anyone, really. I was really an angry kid.
Well, we're talking to Veronica Miranda, and she is... in her past, a recipient of a Operation Christmas Child shoebox. And so, Veronica, you're in the orphanage. How long were you there before they had the shoeboxes come?
Yeah, so I got there in February of that year. And then towards the Christmas season, I remember that season, I was just very sad because I felt alone. Even though there was tons of kids and people around me, I just felt like I was by myself. Nobody saw me. No one cared about me. And that I remember that day. And it was going to be the very first time that I was not going to spend Christmas, at least with my mom or with my family. So it was really difficult for me because Christmas season was a very important season for us. But I remember that day very clearly. The director of the orphanage, he called all the kids downstairs. And they had the boys sitting on one side and the girls sitting on the other side. And he came up front and began to share with us the meaning of Christmas, which was the very first time I had ever heard about the story of Jesus told like that, that he died for me in the cross. And I thought Christmas was about Santa and cookies and Christmas trees and lights, but I came to find out it's about Jesus. And they started handing out these beautiful shoeboxes to us. And we all had to patiently wait until every single child received their shoebox. So we finally get our boxes, and they count us down. And when we finally get to three, we open our boxes. And the first thing I opened my box, I remember it was like, the smell of America. I knew this came back from the U.S., and it just reminded me of when I used to live back in the U.S. with my family and we were together. And I don't know how you pack a smell, but it was in there, I promise. And I'm taking out all the other stuff out of my shoebox. And there's tons of school supplies. There was a 12-pack of pencils. There was a calculator, actually. There was some little notebooks, some sticker packets, and a stuffed animal. But as I'm taking everything out, I wanted that moment just to be me in my box. So I kind of removed myself from the whole group of all the kids screaming of excitement. And I get to the very bottom of my box, and I pull out a Christmas card that says, "Merry Christmas. You have a family here that loves you and is praying for you. And when I heard those words, I just felt so loved and cared and seen that it just helped me see and feel God in such a tangible way, because I had something in front of me, right, that I could show you, I could prove to you that someone loved me. Mm. And in that moment, I just felt like all that anger I told you about, it just kind of crumbled. And I felt like I could take a deep breath finally. And that encouraged me to just begin to ask more questions about who this Jesus guy is and what would it look like if I were to follow him in my life.
Mm. And did they, mm-hmm. now they're Christians, at, they were Christians at the orphanage that were running
yes,
it?
Yeah, and yeah, so, they were. So we did Bible studies and we did a bunch of devotionals every day. And I began to be more curious and ask more questions. And a few months later, actually, I decided to accept Jesus.
Mm. How old were you then? So you were still 13?
Yes, because I'm a December birthday.
Oh, okay.
So yes, I'm still 13.
So how did your life begin to change, Veronica?
Drastically. One, I feel like I wasn't angry anymore at people, at myself, at my circumstance. The Lord really helped me open my eyes and soften my heart a lot. I began to be more compassionate, more loving. And one thing that I guess is a very visual way is I had this realization where I was like, wow, I do not want other kids to be so angry. I don't want them to carry with this. I want kids to experience that same joy, that joy that comes from only from the Lord. So I noticed that our community was hungry, both physically and spiritually. So I started a community soup kitchen for our local community. And that's actually how I learned how to cook, to cook meals for over 270 kids every Tuesday.
Wow.
And there was, so I would feed them, and then I was actually able to participate in this discipleship program by Samaritan's Purse that is called The Greatest Journey. And The Greatest Journey is a 12-lesson discipleship program for children. Once they receive their shoebox, they're invited to come back again and stay connected with their local church and hear more about Jesus and what would it look like for them to follow Jesus and walk with Jesus for the rest of their lives. So I got to teach that firsthand because I wanted other kids to hear about Jesus and to experience that joy that I had after I saved my boss. So I participated in that discipleship program, which was just amazing.
So you do that there in Mexico, or where do you do it?
Yes, in Mexico. I was still one of the kids from the orphanage, but so I taught that to the 50 kids of the orphanage, but also when I started that community soup kitchen for the local community, we started that, and then we started a church because we saw that the kids, after the discipleship program ended, we saw that the kids wanted to keep coming, so we needed now a church.
Mm. That is awesome. And so now you're still, that's still your ministry. You're still a part of that?
No. So I was actually late. So during that same year that I started that community soup kitchen, we met this missionary family that was down in Mexico from Washington State, who the Lord had just put in their heart to adopt us and to bring us back to the U.S., my siblings and I. So we were actually adopted about 3 years after that and brought back to the U.S. where I live now in the state of Florida, and I work for another Christian ministry. And I mean, I still serve. I still am part of the ministry of my local church. I still pack shoeboxes personally, but I also pack shoeboxes with a school. I love to serve the Lord because I realize that if it weren't because of people's acts of generosity and acts of kindness, I wouldn't be here, you know, and I wouldn't have a story to tell. Mm. So I'm just trying to give back as much as I can.
Yeah, that is so good. So I interviewed another gentleman that was in Africa, and he talked about receiving his shoebox. This was a couple of weeks ago. And I told him about a Sunday school class in our church, Veronica, where they have such a passion for Operation Christmas Child. And they packed this year, they packed 12,000 shoeboxes.
Wow. And
they have a building that one of the ladies purchased just for that. So they pack shoeboxes all year long. And then they have a big, huge garage sale to pay for the shipping because, you know, it's what, $10 a box. So if you make 12,000 boxes, that's a lot of shipping costs. But can you imagine? So one class in our church, 12,000 boxes. And as I told this gentleman that, he said, oh, that impacts so many kids and so many families with the gospel. And so you are proof positive that those boxes make a difference.
Yeah, Jeff, and you know what's actually even more impressive is that the Lord is amazing, and He is, we hear 12,000 boxes, and we think 12,000 kids, right? I feel like that's the normal thought. But when you think about it, I received one box, and then I felt led to then lead other children, 270 children from our community. So you just see the multiplication of one simple box. So we see 12,000 boxes here, but you don't know how many families are going to be transformed just because of that one box. So that is just amazing to hear, and I know it will transform the lives of many kids, of many families around the world, because sometimes when you're in a spot like I was, when you're angry, and sometimes just a little hope goes really, really far.
Amen. That is so good. Okay, so where you were talking, I was thinking about this old phrase that is so true. It says, any fool can count the seeds in a watermelon, but only God can count the watermelons in a seed. And so, as you said, Veronica, you never know who's going to receive that box and how the Lord uses that, and then how the Lord uses that person, just like in your life, to impact so many more lives for Jesus and the multiplication effort. Well, that is just awesome. I have to say that for someone who spent a lot of time in Mexico, you have zero accent.
Oh, thank you. I always say I don't have a first language. I have two second languages.
So you can turn on the Espanol when you want, though, right?
Claro, por supuesto.
Well, I love that. So tell people how they can get involved with The Greatest Journey.
Well, there's many ways. First, you can go donate through our website at occ.org and donate there for The Greatest Journey program. But I would love to share with you that The Greatest Journey, since 2009, when we started, we've had close to 31 million shoebox recipients that have participated in this Greatest Journey because of generous donations, and more than 21.7 million that have graduated. And this is my favorite one, over 15 million decisions were made for Christ in new churches. Been planted because of this program. So go to our website. You can help donate towards this program so that children can not only just receive that shoebox with the greatest gift gospel booklet that comes on top of their shoebox, but they can be invited to come back and hear more about Jesus and to be disciples.
Amen. Well, Veronica, thank you so much for being my special guest today. What a testimony, and what an encouragement to our hearts. And so give again that website that people can go to.
Yes, it is. You can go to occ.org.
occ.org, OperationChristmasChild.org. You can also call 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. Or you can donate online at afr.net. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls as we talk about partnering with God, working together with God as His ambassadors to share the good news of Jesus, especially at this Christmas time. Don't go away.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. There were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years, and it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about working together with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. And we just heard an awesome testimony from Veronica Miranda, who received an Operation Christmas Child shoebox when she was 13 years old, living in an orphanage in Guadalajara, Mexico, and how God used that shoebox to let her know that she was loved and to bring her to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whoever packed that shoebox, we don't know who packed it. God knows who packed it. That shoebox made a difference in the life of a young teenage girl, and God has used her to make a difference in the lives of scores and scores and scores of people, and still using her as she is serving the Lord. And what a sweet heart of a person, and I just loved hearing her voice and just the love that you can tell she had for the Lord. I was thinking about something that she said with all the heartache she went through and losing her dad, and then her mother was arrested for drugs and lost her brother. She said, "I thought God hated me." I think a lot of people think like that. I saw on an atheist, or not an atheist, but some website, and somebody was selling T-shirts, and the shirt said this: "God hates you, hate him right back." And I thought to myself, how sad, how twisted, what a lie that this person believes, and many people believe, that God hates them. Just look at your life, the devil says. Look how bad things are. Look at how all the heartache and heartbreak. God must hate you. God doesn't hate us. God loves us. And as believers, we work together with him and we tell people about the grace of God, God's riches at Christ's expense, the grace of God that is chock full of the love of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we get to share that with people. People just like Veronica. And we don't know who we share with, how that the Holy Spirit's going to use that and how that person is going to receive or reject. Our job is just to share. Our job is just to think about it this way. You know, if the Lord told you, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand on the street corner and hand out checks for $1 million. I'll keep funding the account. You just hand out checks for $1 million to whomever wants to receive it. You know, if somebody said, no, I don't want it, we wouldn't say, well, I better stop. Maybe I'm not very good at this. Maybe I didn't do it right. Why do they not want this? No, we'd just say, okay, well, that's your choice. And we'd go on to the next person. Hey, we have something to share that's worth so much more than $1 million. It's eternal life, the gift of eternal life that comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and we offer that to people as his ambassadors. This is what the king says. He will save anyone who will turn to him in repentance and faith. And there are going to be lots of rejectors. That's okay. There are going to be those who say, I want to hear the good news. Tell me more. People just like Veronica. Well, we'd like to take your calls. The phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That number, 888-589-8840. Let's talk about the joy of working together with him. And maybe you can share a short testimony of how God used your life to make a difference in the life of someone else. You know, when the old phrase is so true, a person all wrapped up in himself or herself makes for a very small package. We are not to get so caught up in ourselves. Life is all about me, 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 me. Life is not about us. Life is about working together with him, as the Christian life is all about that. We're his ambassadors. We get to work together with God. He sends us out into the field that is white already unto harvest. Hey, there are people in your life and in your circle, people you rub shoulders with, people in my life, my circle, people I rub shoulders with, that are ready to hear the gospel. They're like ripe fruit. They're just ready for someone to talk to them about Jesus. I remember when I was in seminary, I was a full-time student. I was working part-time for my old company, Nalco Chemical Company, and it was helping me quite a bit to pay bills. And so I would work 15 to 20 hours a week and go to school. And Debbie was working at the Baptist bookstore, and we were hand-to-mouth, God's hand to our mouth. But God was blessing, and it was so special that year that we were in seminary. Well, I was working in Research Triangle Park, and I was having trouble with my car. It was making a weird noise. I didn't know quite what it was. But as I'm driving down one of the back roads in Research Triangle Park, there in the Durham, North Carolina area, the wheel came off. My whole wheel, not just the tire, the wheel just sheared off the lug nuts and rolled into a ditch. And so I just went off to the side of the road and I said, good grief, I'm kind of out in the middle of nowhere. I went back to the ditch to retrieve my wheel. And when I got back to the car, there was a car behind mine. And it was a lady that said, do you need help? And I said, yeah, I really do need help because I'm out here, you know, in this back part of Research Triangle Park. And this was in 1996. There weren't a lot of, there's still a lot of vacant area back there. And so she said, well, let me give you a ride. And so she gave me a ride to get to the phone so I could call a tow truck. And I started talking to her about the Lord. I told her I was a student at Southeastern Seminary. and told her about the Lord. And she said to me, she said, you know, you're the third person this week that has talked to me about God. She said, what do you think that means? And I said, what that means is that the Lord is trying to get your attention to let you know he loves you and he wants to have a personal relationship with you. Well, I prayed with her that day in her car to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. God orchestrated that whole thing for the wheel to come off at just the precise time for her to be there, to be behind me, for her to invite me into the car to get to a payphone. He worked all that out. And I was able to take a bad situation and see God's hand working in it, and to see that young lady come to Christ. You know, I've never seen her since. I wouldn't know her if she walked into the room. But just like with Veronica, you don't know who you share with that the Lord may use in great, great ways to influence so many and impact so many for Christ. So be encouraged today. And if you're down in the dumps and if life has kicked you to the curb, just know that God wants to use you. God is saying to you, hey, join with me to make a difference in the lives of people. And not just to help them physically, not just to help them emotionally, but to help them with their greatest need. And a man, a woman, a boy or girl, their greatest need is not money. It's not food. It's Jesus. That's their greatest need, to be made right with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading a book on evangelism and missions one day, and the writer said, you know, it's sad. We have hospitals in third world countries, difficult areas in the world, and Baptist hospitals and things like that, and people know that they can go there for physical help. But he said, but we don't give them spiritual help. We don't give them what they desperately need, and that is the message of the gospel, so that they can come to Christ and receive forgiveness and receive cleansing and receive the Spirit of the living God, and to have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and to know that when they die, they will be with the Lord forever. You know, the story of the 10 lepers that Jesus cleanses them from leprosy, and only one comes back to praise his name, and he was a Samaritan. And that guy, when he comes back to praise the Lord, he not only received cleansing from his leprosy, he received the gift of salvation, because Jesus said, your faith has saved you. The 9 others received the tremendous gift of cleansing from leprosy, but without Jesus, then they live their life, and then they die, and then they go to a Christless hell. The Samaritan who came back to praise his name, he was the one who received the gift of eternal life. And that is the most important gift, the most special gift of all. That's a gift that lasts for all eternity. That's the gift that was paid for with the blood of God's Son. We are purchased with the blood of God, royal blood. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. So we're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has given us the ministry, 2 Corinthians 5:19, of reconciliation. How are you doing in your ministry? Well, we have our good friend Alan on the line from North Carolina. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Pastor Jeff. I appreciate so much your, you know, everything that you do. But
thank you.
As I may have shared once before, I came to the Lord late in life when I was 39 years old. And then I'd asked the Lord if I could just have one person before I died, it would be worth never making general. But one night, whenever I had been invited to give my testimony in a prison, and I laid out the ugly stuff in my life of how I almost killed a guy in a fist fight when I was 19, and my brother's involvement in hard drugs, to include cocaine and heroin. And when I was talking to the guys, I could see a lot of that resonated with them. And that night when the invitation was given, 37 guys accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Pastor Jeff, of all the quote awards I've received, one of my most treasured possessions is a handwritten note written by one of those inmates in a piece of paper torn out of a notebook where he says that he accepted Jesus Christ as a result of my testimony.
How cool is that?
Yeah, and you know, it was only later whenever I read the Bible, and honestly, it just really reflected back to me a lot of mistakes. But in the book of Joel, it says the Lord will restore the years the locust has eaten, or something like that. But God can even use the ugly things and the garbage in our lives, you know, if we're willing to lay it out to people, and like you say, testify, the Lord can use that to bring people to know His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. God doesn't waste anything, and so he works all things together for good in our lives. And Alan, you're exactly right. As we trust Him, He can use the good things, the bad things, the sweet things, the sorrowful things, even the sinful things in our lives. He can use those for good to bring glory and honor to Himself and to help people see that, hey, if the Lord did this in Alan's life, He can do something in my life too. Hey, you're a blessing, my brother. I appreciate your heart for evangelism, your heart for the Lord, and thank you for listening to the program and just being a dear friend and somebody that always has a good word of encouragement. So I appreciate you. God bless you. Well, as we think about being used of God, and as the Lord says, He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Luke chapter 10, therefore beseech, make requests, and entreat the Lord to send out laborers into His harvest. Then He says this, go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. We need to know that, and the Lord is not, He's not sugarcoating anything. The Christian life, as we live it for the Lord, as we shine and as we share, there it will be opposition, and there are going to be people that come against you and me. The world hates Christianity. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you, and it hates the message of truth. Hey, truth is hate to those who hate the truth, and we have a growing number of people who hate the truth. That's okay. We are to speak the truth in love. We're to tell people the truth. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born, the Savior of the world. But to come to know the Savior of the world, you have to be honest. You have to be broken over your sin. You have to see that the only way to come to Christ is through repentance. I turn from sin and faith. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thank you so much for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'll be with you again tomorrow as my wonderful wife, Debbie, joins me. And I encourage you, if you want to listen to any of the programs, go to AFR.net. You can listen to any of these programs again and share them with a friend. Hey, go out today, make a difference, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and work together with God. Be encouraged. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.